Report out today from the State Department cites flawed elections and prisoner torture in Egypt, arbitrary arrests and a lack of religious freedom in Saudi Arabia, and floggings to punish adultery or drug abuse in the United Arab Emirates. On a visit to those allies last month, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said each country makes significant contributions to the war on terror. The relationship between Washington and the UAE, also central to the controversy over the Dubai-owned company's plans to take over major U.S. seaport operations, which now faces major opposition in the House. The annual report says Iraq's human rights performance is handicapped by insurgency and terrorism. Iraqi police say gunmen in camouflage uniforms stormed a private security company and kidnapped as many as 50 employees today. The Interior Ministry says the attackers hit the private Iraqi-owned business, forcing the workers into 7 vehicles. Meanwhile, U.S. and Iraqi patrols discovered 24 bodies in various parts of Baghdad today. Prosecutors presented videotaped testimony from an Islamic radical in their effort to secure the death penalty for Zacharias Moussaoui. On tape, the admitted militant recounts how a man matching Moussaoui's description visited Malaysia and said he dreamed of flying a plane into the White House. The man on the videotape, the acknowledged treasurer of a Southeast Asian group linked to Al-Qaeda. Insurance coverage taking a hit from hurricanes. One of Florida's largest property insurers says it's going to stop issuing new policies and drop some customers because of hurricane losses. That means thousands of home and condominium owners will lose their insurance policies in June. The move by Poe Financial Group likely means higher insurance rates for everyone in Florida. This is Air America Radio News.
Radio. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. Ah, yes, Pink Floyd-like music. The moon is out. We're back at night. Rita Cosby is out there looking for another missing white person, so I guess everything is all right with the universe. Did you ever notice that the crazier Rumsfeld gets, the louder and more frequently he pounds his podium? Podium. Have you noticed that? We have some delusional ruminations from this psychopath tonight, balanced by the coherent, reality-based sound clips from Representative Jack Murtha on Hardball yesterday. So stick around for that, all right? And for our listeners in Madison, Wisconsin, at the mic, 91.1. What? 92.1. Well, we're on so many stations, it's very difficult to try to keep all six of them straight, you know, but just kidding. Anyway, if you listen to the program in the Madison, Wisconsin area, there are two opportunities next Tuesday to come by and say hello. I'll be at Hawk's Bar and Grill at 425 State Street, along with 92.1's Lee Rayburn. The mic, 92.1's Lee Rayburn, from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. That's Tuesday coming, the 14th. Both of us will be there. So come on by. It gives me a chance to meet some of the folks who broadcast this program in Madison, which I have not had a chance to do yet, so I'm really looking forward to that. And also a chance to meet some of the people who hang out in the Madison, Wisconsin area. Then that evening, 7 p.m., the University of Wisconsin College Democrats have invited me to give a speech at the Whitewater campus. So starting what, around 7 o'clock, Kathy? 7 o'clock? So Tuesday the 14th, going to be a fun day for me. I don't know about you, but from 11 a.m., this is all Central Time, of course, from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., along with the Mike 92.1's Lee Rayburn, he and I will be at Hawk's Bar and Grill, 425 State Street. So come on by and say hello. And then that evening, UW College Democrats have invited me to talk at the Whitewater campus, so come by for that. I don't know what the hell I'm going to say, but usually what we do in a situation like that is just wing it. It's always fun. And in about half an hour tonight on this program, we're going to talk with Dr. Mike Newcomb, who had his own program on our Air America radio affiliate in Phoenix, Arizona, KXXT. He's going to get on the horn with us here to discuss the effort to save Air America Radio in Phoenix. And there's a link to their website at mikemalloy.com if you want to go check that out. So Dr. Mike Newcomb, yeah, he's a physician. He's an MD. He's also a kick-ass talk show host and working very hard to get Air America Radio back on the air on a different station in Phoenix. We've been talking about this. There's a website, SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. Is that it, Kathy? SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. It's a very simple idea. Go to the website and check it out. This is a good idea. Buy a pixel. Get your face, your name, your website, whatever, on the permanent record to restore Air America programming to the fifth biggest market in America. You know what happened there? some Christo-fascists who just couldn't stand the fact that the liberals, the progressives, the Democrats in the Phoenix area finally had a chance to hear something other than the right-wing drool and dribble that comes from right-wing talk radio and so-called Christian radio, which is not Christian, it is something else. And that was just too much for these thugs, so these Christo-fascists. So they got together, sold a bunch of prayer rugs and tracks and things, and got enough money from the rest of the drooling faithful and bought the station, and then immediately destroyed Air America's programming. Nice, huh? Oh, well. Are you all familiar with Eric Blumrich's website? That's bushflash.com. Have you been there? If you haven't, you ought to go. It's I know most of you are familiar with it, bushflash.com. Eric is simply stated, I'm not going to dwell on this, but he's a web and animation genius, period, okay? If you want to see some astonishingly well-put-together Flash videos, go to bushflash.com. Now, the reason I'm mentioning his website, I got an email from him. He was at a so-called technology summit at George Washington University in the nation's capital here over the weekend, I guess. And he just sent me a quick email about it. He said he's very upset about what he discovered there. He went to this technology summit where a lot of young people converged. What the hell's the word? What am I looking for, Kat? I can't talk tonight. I'm still on Randy Rhodes' time. He writes to me, I've met the next generation of the leadership of both parties. And if I held forth any hope in times past that there might be any concrete change coming from within the party establishments, it was ruthlessly dashed. These young poli-sci graduate students are automatons of party orthodoxy, which they refuse to subject to any internal critical review. It is all a game to them. The war is a game to them. Our lives are a game to them. I wanted to burn the goddamn place down. Pretty strong. And so I wrote back to Eric and I said, what about the Democrats? And he said, the Democrats there were equally soulless. If there's any hope for the party, we have to emulate the religious right and take over the party at the local level. P.S. Be sure and mention these people have no souls. Okay. And then he added, the problem is they, the party establishments, the adults, take the new generation and drill into it orthodoxy and detachment. It's like they've distilled the worst elements of the last 20 years of politics into a muck, which is presented as the status quo, and then interpreted by the students as the way things ought to be. If this is their highest benchmark, Eric writes, I can only see things getting worse in the coming generations. I was on a panel with a waspy blonde spawn of the Ann Coulter cloning machine who had risen to distinction by making a web commercial that compared John Kerry to a cockroach. It took all I had just to be civil. He was at the, it's called the IPDI Summit, which is what? I had it right here. What the hell is it? Oh, Institute for Policy, Democracy, and the Internet. Now, if Eric attends something like this and files a very quick, not files, but just sends me an email and says, whoa, well, that gets my attention. Now, I know a lot of you are familiar with his website, bushflash.com, but there are so many videos there that, I mean, you can't, I don't know, if you've got all night, you still wouldn't get through them all. He's even got one of me, Kathy. He's got the 14, what was it? It's bushflash.com/14.html, I believe. That's the one that I voice, and he does the images.
Yeah, the defining
characteristics of fascism. Right. Anyway, check out Eric's website if you want. That's not why I did. I didn't read his email so he could go to his website. I just read it because this guy, I'm telling you, this guy's a genius. He's an IT a tech genius, a web genius, filmmaker. Not film. It's not film. You know what I'm saying. Go check it out. But it's because he was so shocked by what he experienced at this tech summit. That's not good news. Not good news. All right, quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic, The Mac and Cheese Box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
What about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie d'eau de tasses. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it. Oh.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
We'll be right back.
hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Martha in Massachusetts writes, Uncle Mike, did you happen to catch Lou Dobbs tonight? Is this what's the date today, Kathy? Is this the 8th or the 9th? The 8th? It's easy to lose a couple days when you switch, doing days and doing nights. All right, Martha wrote this today then, this evening. Uncle Mike, did you happen to catch Lou Dobbs tonight? There was Republican Duncan Hunter telling Lou that he led a vote in the House to kill the Dubai port deal, which was stomped on 65-2. On and on he went about what a terrible deal this is and protecting the American people comes first. At the end of the interview, he says, quote, and remember, Lou, this was Republicans stopping this deal, end quote. Hurrah, hurrah, Republicans to the rescue. Yeah, Mike, this was Karl Rove, all right. Hunter's last comment was a dead giveaway. As usual, the sheep will probably be able to pick up on this. And the reason Martha wrote in, her subject line says, you were so right. We talked about this how long ago, Kathy? When this whole Dubai ports snarky little deal hit mainstream media, and obviously it was a ploy by Karl Rove to keep control of the House, the Senate, therefore the judiciary. He knows that Toad Boy is dead meat. Chuckle Nuts is out of there, maybe, if he doesn't suspend that part of the Constitution, too, but, which he may do. But what Rove is charged with doing is making sure, what Hitler had in mind was a 1,000-year Reich. What Rove has in mind is as many years as he can steal. So what better way than to provide the Republicans with an issue against which they can kick and stomp and storm? Oh, we're so concerned about safety of Americans, we're even going against our own president. Whoa! Oh, Jesus, I'm so sick of it. I really am. Maybe you are, too, but it's going to take a while for it to change, right? Here's one way you can help it change. Have you heard about... There is a challenge here to Jane Harman. Marcy, now wait a second. Damn it! I should have this right in front of me, and I don't. So let me get it. Most of you know that Jane Harman is a member of Congress from California, right? Okay. She has a challenger, and if I can get the damn computer to work, this is when people leave the program and say, okay, to hell with this nonsense. Let me just read what Simon sent me. MarcyForCongress.com is the website. Go check it out while I'm fumbling around here. MarcyForCongress.com. On the foreign policy front, Marcy supports immediate withdrawal of our troops from Iraq, cessation of airstrikes over Iraq, an end to no-bid reconstruction contracts for war profiteers, no permanent U.S. military bases in Iraq, war reparations so that Iraqis can reconstruct their own country, and diplomatic efforts to involve regional Arab stakeholders in fostering peace and unity in Iraq. Marcy also calls for an end to Bush's first strike, preemptive nuclear war policy, secret detentions, suspension of due process and torture, and illegal wiretaps of Americans. And Simon over at Airstrip One sent this to me. Amazing that Airstrip One, of course, is London. Amazing that Simon knows about this and I didn't. But anyway, I want you to check it out, Marcy for Congress, and see if this is someone you can support. We had Steve Sinton on the other night. We've had candidates on who appear to be real Democrats, and what I've been talking about, I think, is very important. Marcy Winograd is her name. Jeez, it finally worked. But unlike the 36th District Congresswoman Jane Harman. Jane Harman, apparently, I'm not in California, but according to Marcy's website, Jane Harman is a supporter of the Iraq War, a supporter of the Patriot Act, a supporter of nuclear weapons development, a supporter of secret detentions and the suspension of due process, a supporter of illegal government wiretapping of private American citizens. Harman is the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. She remained silent for over a year after being briefed on the Bush administration's violation of federal wiretapping law, and recently told Meet the Press that she deplores the New York Times for informing the American people that the Bush administration ignored the law. Jesus, really? You see, the stuff you don't know about Democrats, huh? All right, please check it out. Marcy Winograd is her name. She's got a website, marcy4congress.com. Please take a look at it during this break, okay? Don't stick around and listen to the ridiculous music that we play. And if you don't want to listen to commercials, well, this is something for you to do. marcy4congress.com. If I were in the 36th District of California, this woman would get my vote. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
Clarence Young, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on how far he's willing to go.
Finding a new antibiotic is about as easy as catching one particular snowflake. It takes about 15 years to find one that works. Then, as soon as the bacteria develop resistance, we're right back where we started. But everyone benefits from antibiotics, so the war never stops. At GSK, quitting's just not an option.
GlaxoSmithKline. Today's medicines, tomorrow's miracles.
You know, it's amazing how many things you can do online these days. Plastic surgery online is still a few years off, but I bet they're working on it. And what about doing all your car insurance business online? Well, it's already here. At Geico.com, you can do most everything. Change drivers, change cars, change coverage, change your oil. I made that last one up. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Not. Sometimes when you're curious, 25 before the hour, I just went to the, as a matter of fact, I'm still there at SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com website, and went over to the, what did I click on to get here? I'm at the page that shows all the pixels that have been bought so far by people who are helping to save Air America Phoenix, and it's fun to look at. You put your cursor there. No, North Phoenix Progressives love AAR. Put it over here. Velvet Revolution. Put it over here. What is this one? LJ and BR. Always vigilant. Put it up here. I supported Air America Phoenix. Put it over here. Changing Hands Bookstore. It just goes on and on. Joining us now from Phoenix is Dr. Mike Newcomb, as we call him, Dr. Mike. He's a physician, also was a talk show host on KXXT before it was Deep Six by the Christo Nazis. And Mike is one of the driving forces, Dr. Mike, behind Saving Air America Phoenix. Dr. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? It's a great honor to be on the show with you. And as you know, you are known in certain circles as the Prince of Darkness, but I have surpassed you, Mike. I am now the Prince of Dark Air.
Dark Air?
Yes.
Well, I was just, I don't know if you heard that, but I was just at the website. This thing is really happening.
Hey, one disclaimer before we get to that.
Yeah.
Nowhere when you scrolled over anything did you see the name Osama bin Laden. Is that correct, Mike?
That's very correct. Also, I didn't see the name of Dick Cheney either.
Yes, yes. So nor Halliburton. So you can see the Changing Hands bookstore there, a far cry from these other people.
Yeah, this is a great idea. Now, I've been saying that the idea came, and correct me if I'm wrong, the kid in the U.K. who decided to make $1 million by selling pixels.
That's correct. He had an idea of a $1 million homepage, and basically
did it.
The smallest that you can see is a 10x10 pixel for an image on the internet. So essentially, what it's like, Mike, it's a big billboard. It's a billboard that you put in cyberspace, and people buy advertisement on that billboard, and we just put it right up there, and they're supporting us, and they're coming out in droves, and we really thank you for you really have honestly, Mike, been a catalyst, and really have led the way for this movement to get other progressive talkers on board. So we commend you for that.
Well, you're more than welcome. I'm looking here at another one. This is Honeymoon Loves Air America Phoenix. This is a lot of fun.
We don't, Mike. We are so overwhelmed right now that all the pixels that we have, they're not even up there yet. I mean, our webmaster guy is working overtime right now, and they will get up. They'll fill up very quickly, but it really is a great, tremendous start, and we are so moved by the local and national support.
Yeah, that's great. Now, what you're asking people to do? Let's recap again. Air America Phoenix. Now, if you get this money together, you're going to lease time on another station. You got to pay for a year in advance. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's pretty much the deal that's on the table here. So we are working to get the operating expenses and get the and the lease up front so that we can cover those costs. And then we have tons of advertisers, Mike, who are ready to come to the table too, but they want to see this thing get back on the air, and that's pretty much what we're doing. I mean, we went dark, and honestly, we were quite surprised by it. We up until February 28th, 5 o'clock, before 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we were told the deal was in the works, and the next morning we were off the air. So there was a great sense of loss in the community. The community really, honestly, Mike, is in mourning. I mean, I'm a doctor right now, and I think a lot of people have gone through the stages of grieving. Initially, denial, then guilt and anger. But right now, people are really rallying to the cause.
Well, that's good to hear. The thing that's always intrigued me in kind of a negative way, Dr. Mike, is the fact that when the right wingers want to tap into huge vats of money, they can do it, and huge chunks come out, or they can go to their core constituency and get the $10 and the $20 and the $100 and the $150 And invariably, and what is, they meet whatever financial goal they're looking for. Now, the cynic in me says that's because these people have been knee-jerked into doing this, plus they're motivated by fear. All right, here, especially what I call the Christo-fascists, they're just so motivated by fear. If I help buy this radio station, maybe Jesus will love me more and I'll go to heaven quicker, or whatever. I don't know what the scam is, but it seems to me that's the way it works. With the Save Air America Phoenix thing, it seems to me that what's going on here are people who, regardless of where they land on the progressive scale, Democrat, liberal Democrat, extremely liberal Democrat, radical liberal Democrat, whatever, it's just the idea that in the fifth largest market, there should be a point of view that is not the knee-jerk right wing.
Well, Mike, you're 100% right. I'll tell you, it was amazing what you just said, because the right-wing flock does come to the table when they need to. And day one, when they turn Christian broadcast, and I'm a Christian, just so you know, Mike, I'm a Sermon on the Mount Christian, not a hellfire and brimstone Christian.
Right. I hear you.
So, but in any case, I was shocked. Day one, people, I turned on just to hear what was on. They were asking for money. They were asking for donations from day one. But
right.
That's all they do all day long. And so I said, you know, why not go, you know, rather than looking for an angel, someone to just come to our rescue, we have all of our saints that we call listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we go to our listeners just like they do and this one time go and say, hey, help us out. You know, we'll do the hard work. We'll do the heavy lifting and we'll make this thing profitable so that, you know, we won't have to do these things, you know, in the future. So we were real excited about it.
Excuse me. Our associate producer up in New York just IM'd me and said that there are people who are asking if they're not online, if they're not computer savvy or what have you, is there a snail mail address to send a check?
Yeah, we do have an opportunity to do that as well, and I can give you the address if you want right now, or if you want to post it. Well, actually, they wouldn't do it because they're not online.
Yeah, but, go ahead, give it to us.
It's just you would send it to On Second Thought LLC.
On Second Thought
LLC, right?
LLC.
And that's the company that we've created to, you know, take care of this. And then the address is 28248 North Tatum, that's T-A-T-U-M, Boulevard, and it's B as in boy, B1, comma, number 605, and it's in the beautiful town of Cave Creek, Arizona, and the zip is 85331. So if you wrote that down, I'm sure you can give it later if you want.
Yeah, we wrote it down. We'll give it a couple of times. Hold on just a second. Yeah, Kathy?
Next time, just a suggestion, P.O. Box. Think P.O. Box.
There you have it.
Yeah. It might be a good idea, Dr. Mike. You know, you're a doctor, so you know about second opinions. You just got one.
There you have it. Well, you know, and as a liberal, Mike, we're always open to second opinions. You know, we're not closed-minded.
All right. Well, I'll put this up on my website, and we'll give it again tonight so that people with something to write with can write it down.
But I'll tell you one thing that, you know, I have to say, honestly, you know, I said that you're coming to the table. I mean, we, you know, Sam Cedar, the Majority Report, you know, we talked to, left a message with Tom Hartman's crew, but I was really disappointed because, you know, we reached out to Ed Schultz. And
what happened with Big Eddie?
I don't know what happened with Big Eddie, but, you know, let me tell you something. When he came out here, he was treated like a rock star. You know, we had a personal party for Big Eddie. And I heard secondhand, I didn't hear it on the show, but I heard that he had indicated it's not even worth going after and doing this effort here in Phoenix. And I was shocked to hear that because, you know, like you said earlier, this is the fifth largest city in the country. We have a Democratic governor here, Mike. We have a Democratic attorney general, a Democratic mayor in Phoenix, but the rest of the state legislature is all red. So, and then we have John Kyle, who's one of the most far-right, you know, conservative people in the Republican Party right now. He needs to lose, and we have a credible candidate in Senator Jim Peterson. Who, this is a crucial race, so we need to have this. And I don't understand why Big Eddie would say something like that.
I don't either. I've never heard Schultz's program. I've said before, I met him in D.C. about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm very suspicious of what he does. I don't know him from Adam's house cat. I've said on the air one time when I got thoroughly pissed off about something that somebody sent me a clip from his program. I listened to the clip, and then I came on, and I said, I think Ed Schultz is a phony. And immediately, of course, I get swarmed by Ed Schultz fans, but I have problems with people who all their lives have been conservatives and all of a sudden make a switch. And I, just something about it I don't like. But it's surprising to me that somebody who presents himself as a Democrat is saying, don't bother with Air America Phoenix. That's really surprising.
To me, honestly, he's the only talk show host that I know that's supposed to be on our side that has said it's not worth saving Air America Phoenix. So I didn't hear the program personally, but a caller called up and called us immediately when that happened. And he doesn't archive his shows, so I can't really check that. But I'm very disappointed. If that's the case, I'm very disappointed, and that doesn't do anything for our cause at all.
Well, it doesn't. But on the other hand, if Sam and Janine are pushing it, we're pushing it. If Tom Hartman pushes it,
When Randy gets back, we're going to have Randy. Hopefully she'll help us as well. She got rock star status out here in Arizona, and I know they love Randy out here. And Al came out here, and we're going to be talking to Al's team as well, Al Franken. And so,
super.
You guys are doing a great job, honestly, helping. And also, I got to give kudos too, Mike, even though you're a national host here, our local community is really coming to the table too. So it's a great message.
Hey, will you hold on a second?
Absolutely.
All right, let me do some commercials. And then just for the hell of it, I have a caller, one caller from Phoenix. There are a bunch of people on hold here that we're going to get to in a moment. But we have a caller from Phoenix named Bill, and he has comments for Dr. Mike. So you hold on a second?
You got it.
All right, we'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org. We'll be right back.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, we're talking with Dr. Mike Newcomb, who is in Phoenix. He was on KXXT, had his own program, along with a whole host of people from Air America Radio in New York. Dr. Mike is leading the charge to get the programming from Air America and a few other sources back on the airwaves in Phoenix, Arizona. And the way he's doing this, without going into great detail, just go to SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com and check it out. If you want to participate in it, go for it. Even if you're a right-winger, if you want to contribute money, we'll give you a pixel that says, "I hate Air America." Fine, just give us your money. We're real okay with that. I think, right, Mike?
I think, hey, you know, I got to tell you one funny story there quickly. I was driving back from the airport one time late at night here in Phoenix. My wife picked me up with the kids, and we, of course, turned into Air America here locally, and you were on the air. And so there was some right-winger just giving you a hard time, and you just totally gave it to him and, like, just shut him up immediately. And then my kids always hear me on the air because I take a lot of callers, too. And they're saying, like, "Poppy, you know, why do you let them, you know, say bad things about you like that?" And when they heard you, they said, "Hey, Poppy, that's what you should do. You should do like Mike Malloy does." So
No.
I want to let you know, Mike, you're having a very positive influence on my young liberal Christian children.
Oh, no. well, good. All right, I want to do one phone call here before we have to break. Bill is calling from Phoenix. Bill, welcome to the program. Say hi to Dr. Mike.
Mike, on behalf of a local radio family of friends, I want to be the first to thank you nationally for doing what you're doing. I knew you'd never take a dive. We all did. You are the living greatest.
He's talking to you, Dr. Mike.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, I appreciate that, though. I really do.
You know what a fan I am, Mike.
I know you are. Hey, well, we're using your philosophy. We're as mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore.
It leaves me with one question throughout all of this. With the 9.2 million... billion that they stole, how much do they have earmarked to try and capture the rest of the message?
Probably a pretty hefty chunk. You know, faith-based taking over the airwaves or something. I don't know. All right, Bill, thanks for checking in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you both.
All right, Bill. All right, take care. Apparently one of your callers from your program on KXXT.
Yeah, I recognize Bill. Yeah, he's a good guy, and you know, he actually was one of the moving forces when the election was going on to create a honk at noon if you are disgusted with Bush campaign here in Phoenix.
Right, great. All right, now what should people do, Mike, Dr. Mike, to keep this going? What just synopsize for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think look, we're getting great response right now, and I think we just got to keep, you know, keeping the word out there. Let people know they can go to that website, you know, www.saveairamericaphoenix.com. And, you know, there's opportunities to tell your friends. We have a hyperlink that where you would just click tell your friend, and that gives you a little form, Mike, where you could put three email addresses in, and that sends the website's homepage to those people. But this is all about grassroots. It really is. It really is about a bottom-up strategy, and it's something that we really believe in. And like you said, honestly, I mean, you look at the Christian outlets, you look at the far-right people, you know, they have their minions and their flock motivated by fear, but they open up their pocketbooks. But the beauty of what our audience is doing, and your audience and the Air America audience, is that they're motivated, Mike, by hope, by opportunity, by passion. And that's the great thing. And we have so many great emails that we're going to be putting up on the website. It's very touching. And we've got donations from $2,000 to literally $1. Somebody went online and donated a dollar.
Good for them. Good for them. Now, one last thing. I've said the other night, and I just want to check this with you. You're not asking for charity. People are actually buying something here. They're buying a spot on a permanent site. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. This is an advertisement, basically. They're purchasing space on a website. It's no different than the Google model. Like people pay for ads with Google. I mean, we're doing the same thing. We're just doing it with pixels and images.
Yeah, well, so far, what I've seen, and how quickly are you getting the pixels up? Because these things are really cool. I love this idea.
Yeah, well, what we're going to do, too, Mike, just so you know, because the software that we have for this program, it's hardwired for 1 million pixels, and we're only looking to raise 500,000, which would be half the pixel. So once we get this software and thing worked out, the pixels are going to appear bigger, is what I'm saying. So you'll be able to see more, but I think we might have to hire another person on board here, get a volunteer to keep up with it, because people are really responding, and we're just tickled to think about it.
Is there any lower limit in terms of money to buy a pixel?
Here's what people could do, because people, like I said, are sending us $1, $5, $25.
Yeah.
What we're doing with those, Mike, is we're putting them into aggregates so that they're $100 aggregates.
Yeah.
And then we put like a little symbol, an American flag, if you will, a picture of the Constitution that, you know, we aggregate them together.
Super. Dr. Mike, thanks for talking with us tonight. We'll talk again, okay?
Thank you, Mike Malloy.
All right, sir. Take care. Dr. Mike Newcomb from Phoenix, who is ramrodding this whole idea. Check out the website. It's really fun. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Defenders of the Dubai ports deal argue that rejecting it would be an insult to the Arab world. But if you look at it from a different angle, maybe we'd actually be doing our newfound friends in the United Arab Emirates a favor. It's hard to imagine why on earth Dubai would want to manage six major American ports where less than 5% of cargo is inspected currently. If our ally of all of 4 years really wants to involve itself in America's economy, maybe the UAE should bid on a job equally vital but less of a security risk, like managing the reconstruction of New Orleans. It's clear the Bush administration isn't. They haven't even found a replacement for ex-FEMA head Michael Brown, whose rehabilitation in the media last week was one for the ages. No, the Bush administration is too busy doing damage control on the video showing that despite Bush's mendacious assurances to the contrary, his administration did indeed anticipate a possible, quote, breach of the levees. Wait, I'm sorry, they only anticipated the levees being, quote, topped, a distinction without a difference as the White House's current events. I'm Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation for Air America. For more, go to thenation.com.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Iran and the U.S. traded some harsh words today before a meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency in Austria. Iran warned the U.S. is, quote, susceptible to harm and pain. The U.S. says, quote, Iran has still not come clean on its nuclear program. The American and European delegates said Iran's refusal to curb its nuclear program has left the world no choice but to seek action and possible sanctions in the United Nations Security Council. North Korea reportedly fired two surface-to-air missiles near its border with China today. Japanese news agency is citing security sources saying the missiles apparently landed in North Korean territory. The Kyoto news agency has conflicting reports on the incident. It cites an Asian security source saying the missiles were fired by mistake in the direction of China during a military drill. And then it cites a Western military source as saying the short-range missiles were test-fired in an eastern direction from the northeastern coast toward the Sea of Japan. Nearly 6 out of 10 Americans are saying they want to see the death penalty if Saddam Hussein is found guilty. An AP Ipsos poll shows people in Mexico, Canada, Spain, South Korea, and Italy prefer Saddam get life imprisonment. One Italian woman says Saddam should remain a living example for other dictators around the world. Most of those polled overseas also do not think Saddam is getting a fair trial, and they're more inclined than Americans to say Iraqis are worse off now than they were under Saddam. OPEC's president says the oil cartel will stick with current production targets amid fears of political instability and terrorism. Nigeria's oil minister, president of OPEC, says output will remain unchanged. He says the 11-nation group will monitor it closely between now and the next meeting in Caracas, Venezuela, on June 1st. Saudi's oil minister says he hopes OPEC will not have to resort to a production cut at all this year. And Kuwait predicts prices will drop below $60 a barrel by the end of June. Federal aviation officials want to know how a man was able to get onto the airfield at Midway Airport. A Chicago Department of Aviation spokesman says part of the airfield briefly shut down Sunday when the allegedly intoxicated man was spotted in an off-limits area. One arriving plane forced to circle until the runway was reopened. He was spotted standing between two runways and arrested. The FBI says he posed no major security threat. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. Did you go check out MarcyForCongress.com? Did you? Good. MarcyForCongress.com. She's running in the, what was it, the 36th district in California? God, that's a big state.
I don't know. I'm still trying to make some sense out of that physical address that we were given to send money to Phoenix. Never seen anything like that before.
All right, let me give it one more time, and we'll post it to her website. You guys have it right with? It's on Second Thought, comma, LLC. I guess that's how you make out your check. On Second Thought, LLC. The address is 28248 North Tatum Boulevard, T-A-T-U-M, North Tatum Boulevard, B-1, 605. That sounds like a Canadian address, doesn't it? B-1, 605, Cave Creek, Arizona, 85331. All right, just go to, have you posted already on my website?
Why didn't he just give us, like, the latitude and longitude coordinates on a map? And people could have just satellited him, donate. I haven't posted yet. I'm still trying to figure out how to spell it.
We'll have it on our website by tomorrow. Is anybody aware that there's been an oil spill on Alaska's North Slope? Have you heard anything about this? No, and neither have I. I heard something about it a few days ago. Here it is in the Seattle Times on Thursday, from last Thursday. Here's what it says. This is from the Seattle Times. An unknown quantity of crude oil spilled today from a 34-inch diameter pipeline at Prudhoe Bay on Alaska's North Slope, and dangerous fumes were preventing crews from cleanup work. Crude oil could be seen on the snow-covered tundra more than 200 miles east of Barrow. The Alaska Department of Conservation spokeswoman said the oil was pooling on the frozen ground. The cause of the spill discovered this morning by BP Exploration Inc. operators had not been determined. Blah, 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 blah. The weather was expected to help with cleanup efforts, a spokesperson from the State Department of Conservation said. The temperature at Barrow reached a low of 37 below zero last Wednesday. Sunny skies and patchy ice fog marked the spill site today, and high temperatures were predicted to reach 15 below to 25 below. The spokeswoman said the cold temperature will cause the crude oil to thicken and gel. Well, that's certainly good news. And the Colorado teacher, who all the news outlets are saying he compared Bush to Hitler, which he did not. But the school teacher in Colorado, you know the story, right? The teacher, Jay Benish, he's a geography teacher in Colorado, remains on administrative leave while his school district investigates remarks he made about Bush during class that was recorded by a future budding right-winger who then immediately ran to the Nazi station in Denver, KHOW, and I guess was treated like a young brown shirt should be treated. But what the kid did was record the teacher. What the teacher said was that some of the statements made by Bush in his State of the Union speech, quote, sounds a lot like the things that Adolf Hitler used to say. We're the only ones who are right. Everyone else is backwards, and our job is to conquer the world and make sure they all live just like we want them to. And then later in the recording, Mr. Benish said he was not claiming. He specifically said, I'm not claiming Bush and Hitler are the same, quote, but there are some eerie similarities to the tones that they use. Now, there were a lot of the students who at this high school demonstrated in this guy's support. But here's the weird part. He has some family in, is it Beverly Hills, Michigan? This was in the Detroit News. Is there a suburb
of Detroit called Beverly Hills? Huh? John Benish of Beverly Hills said at least 12 people have called his home and threatened his life and the lives of his family since comments made by his son, the school teacher, Jay, was reported on the internet and network television. The teacher is only 28. He's a teacher at Overland High School in Aurora, Colorado. He was on NBC's Today Show. Defending his position, he told the host, Matt Lauer, quote, "My job as a social studies teacher is to argue alternative perspectives and viewpoints so that students are aware of those points of view. They do not necessarily reflect my own views. They're simply thrown out there to encourage critical thought," end quote. Well, Mr. Benish, with all due respect, in Bush's America, with some of these little brown shirts running around, critical thought is the last thing they want to hear. Just like Eric Blumrich, who was in New York, in D.C., and sent me the email about this internet technology gang of younger people who have become automatons, who just spout the party line. They do not critically think. But it's not unusual for death threats to go to the family, usually a family of somebody who makes a statement like this. Now, you know, you could say that this guy was a liberal or a progressive or a Democrat. Nobody really knows what his politics happens to be. But his statements were absolutely factually correct. What Bush said are very similar to what Hitler said. We may do this some night. We may gather up as many of Bush's half-witted, asinine, dumb bastard sayings and compare them in the original German to what Hitler said. And if you speak German, you can figure it out yourself. We'll have a translation. Benish's father said the coverage on Fox News channels Hannity and Combs, no surprise there, on the Pigman, Limbaugh's syndicated radio show, blah, 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 Benish's father said the coverage has been totally lopsided and one-sided. He said the Fox News Channel coverage, quote, "reminds me of McCarthyism, and they're supposed to be fair and balanced." No, Mr. Benish, they're not. It is worse than McCarthyism. It's Hannityism. This little rat bastard Hannity, who would sell his own mother into whoredom if he thought it would win him favor with the right wing in this country. This is Hannity. This is Sean Hannity. He is even worse than Rush Limbaugh because he's a stupid, stupid man. Not that Limbaugh is all that well educated, but Hannity is dumber than a pile of dog crap. And that little puppet that sits with him on Hannity and Combs on Fox News Channel, Alan Combs, who just a little bobblehead who sits there. God, this guy irritates me more than Hannity. I expect Hannity to be what he is. He's a thug, he's a bully, and he's a coward. So naturally, when a story like this comes up, Hannity and the pig man and the rest of these right-wingers are going to jump all over it. The guy told the truth. The guy's a social studies teacher. Hannity's a Nazi. Limbaugh is worse than a Nazi. Whatever's worse than a Nazi. I don't know what's worse than a Nazi. A human, a corpse eater. I don't know. I don't know what's worse than a Nazi. So they've targeted his family. And this is what Hannity loves. Hannity loves to see people's families targeted. He loves it. So does the pig man. This is what brown shirt Nazism is all about. They go after your... This is what we have done in Iraq. Our military now. Can you believe this? When we're after somebody and that somebody's not at home, what happens is we now snatch the wife and the children. And then we put the word out that says, hey, you want your old lady and your little bastards back? Turn yourself in. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? So that's what Hannity, that's what the pig man do. That's what Nazis do.
We bring the world to order. Heil Hitler's world to order. Everyone of foreign race will love the Fuhrer's face when we bring to the world disorder. When the Fuhrer says he is the master race, we heil, heil, right in the Fuhrer's face. Not to love the Fuhrer is a great disgrace. So
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the opening band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Yeah.
22 past the hour. Very quickly, because we do want to get to some calls tonight. This is from editorandpublisher.com. A Gallup report released today reveals that more than half of all Americans rejecting evolution theory and scientific evidence agree with the statement, quote, God created man exactly how the Bible describes it, end quote. Another 31% says that man did evolve, but, quote, God guided the evolution, end quote. Only 12% back evolution and say God had no part. Wow, Kathy, we're in the 12%. That's right. Gallup summarized it this way, quote, surveys repeatedly show that a substantial portion of Americans do not believe that the theory of evolution best explains where life came from. They are not so quick to agree with the preponderance of scientific evidence. Man, I this is astonishing to me. It really is. I can't get my mind around that. We have become scientifically illiterate as a people. The evidence is out there. I don't care how you look at it. Cover of Time magazine, this issue that just came out. An article, rather lengthy article, about the first humans who showed up in the so-called New World, that's us, and how they are tracked back about 16, 17,000 years ago. And according to the people who believe in the biblical account of creation, such a thing is impossible. Not to mention the fossilized evidence that creatures that eventually evolved into humans were walking around 2 million years ago. I can't understand that. I really can't. But it's frightening when you think that only 12% of Americans accept the idea that human beings have evolved from lower life forms and more simple life forms, and that's not even correct. I mean, that's not. This is your field, Catherine. Jump in here and help me because you're a student of a biology student. You've also read. Who wrote The Blind Watchman? Who was that?
I'm still working on that Phoenix, Arizona.
I know you are on the address, but
I believe that would be Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins, right? But. You and I have had this discussion 1,000 times about evolution versus any creation myth. I don't care if it's Hindu, Christian, Judeo-Christian, Muslim. It doesn't make any difference. And I can't understand why only 12% of Americans understand or accept evolution. Do you have any answer as to why?
Well, I think it's possible because we have a president who says, you know, he are opposed to stem cell research and that he wants to protect the tiny babies who are snowflakes floating around in test tubes.
Okay, come on now, seriously.
What other answer could there be?
Well, no, this did not 82% of Americans did not just decide with the election of Bush that they didn't, or the theft of the presidency by Bush, that they didn't accept the idea of natural selection. I guess what I was looking for from you was this idea that evolution evolving from other life forms is not really the point of natural selection, is it?
No, natural selection is a completely random process. I mean, it just describes the process by which favorable mutations get passed on in future generations because they enhance an organism's ability to survive.
So the idea, when you hear some of these right-wing nutcases or these ignorant Americans say, well, I didn't descend from no ape, that's not the issue, is it?
No one's even, of course not. I mean, no one is even disputing. And there's all kinds of different theories inside of evolution of how exactly, you know, the different branches evolved over time. But to any of the knuckle-draggers out there who don't believe in evolution, don't get a flu shot, buddy, because that's evolution going straight into your brachial area of your arm.
Well, you know better than that. While 80% of the American public may reject the scientific theory of evolution, They'll be the first ones clawing over the old people and kids and their own mamas to get one of those flu shots if somebody says, guess what? Here comes bird flu! You know, they'll be stomping on each other to get one of those injections. Trust me on that one. Well, God gave us the vaccine! And you see, in order for bird flu, so-called, to be transmittable from person to person, it has to go through a process of mutation, i.e. evolution, i.e. natural selection, in order to enhance its own survivability. Oh, never mind. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy.
Tell me why an hour on these stupid people breathing. Watching it's really elementary. The Industrial Revolution has put the fish on evolution.
This is the Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain, it wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Soda Can.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the phenylketonuric, though. Sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Oh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Thanks a lot for the ride home.
Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
We'll be right back.
neocons. Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. Before we get to what Rumsfeld, this mass killer, had to say, when was it, yesterday, Kathy, or today? Yesterday. Quick email here from Bruce in New Jersey regarding evolution. Bruce writes, hey, Mike, Bill Maher said, quote, since the space shuttle Columbia is being retired this year, it should be brought into some town square in Alabama so the local villagers can throw rocks at it and beat it with sticks. Yeah, right. Well, not just in some rural Alabama town, town square in Alabama. Upstate New York, in California, Arizona, Montana, Georgia. God. All right. In today's news from Iraq, at least 23 bodies, many of them hanged, were found dumped in parts of Baghdad, along with a string of explosions today that killed at least four people in the Iraqi capital. An American military patrol, this is from Associated Press, an American military patrol investigating a report of a suspicious vehicle found 18 more bodies late Tuesday in an abandoned minibus in West Baghdad. The victims, all men, had been handcuffed, blindfolded, and either hanged or shot to death. The bodies were taken to Yarmouk Hospital, where Dr. Mohana Jawad confirmed two of the victims had been shot to death and the rest hanged. Their deaths appeared recent. Elsewhere, police found the bodies of four men in an open field in Baladiyat, a mixed Sunni-Shiite neighborhood in East Baghdad. The victims had been handcuffed and hanged. Another body, shot in the head, was found near a shop in the eastern Kamaliyad suburb, which has also suffered repeated attacks. The grisly finds follow a surge of sectarian violence unleashed by the February 22nd bombing of the Shiite shrine in the central city of Samarra and reprisal attacks against Sunni mosques and clerics. Against that background, Rumsfeld, yesterday, the criminally insane Donald Rumsfeld has to defend the delusional Peter Pace's comments this past Sunday on Meet the Press that Iraq was not on the verge of civil war, and that to the contrary, remember we played for you, Peter Pace said things were going amazingly well. It's just that these filthy reporters aren't sharing stories about, quote, the goodness, end quote. Now, we played that audio during Randy's program Monday for you. So Rummy continues the crazy talk in yesterday's Department of Defense briefing. All the bad news out of Iraq has simply been exaggerated, that's all. And I guess that includes the latest evidence of violence and mass death.
From what I've seen thus far, much of the reporting in the U.S. and abroad has exaggerated the situation, according to General Casey. The number of attacks on mosques, as he pointed out, had been exaggerated. The number of Iraqi deaths had been exaggerated. The behavior of the Iraqi security forces had been mischaracterized in some instances. And then I noticed today that there's been a public opinion poll reporting that the readers of these exaggerations believe Iraq is in a civil war. A majority do, which I suppose little wonder that the reports we've seen have had that effect on the American people.
You scummy bastard. I swear to God, someday, Rumsfeld, you're going to have to answer. You're going to be like Robert McNamara, who is constantly pursued by the demons that he conjured in the 60s regarding Vietnam. Your turn, your turn is coming, Rummy. It's coming. So we're to believe that you're telling 100% truth here, Rummy, and all the news reports are lying, right? Yeah, okay. So now the reporters try to get some clarification out of Rummy on his charges that the news reports out of Iraq are basically fiction. And that the truth is that things are just really going swimmingly over there. One reporter says, Mr. Secretary, I'd like to clear up exactly what you're saying here. Are you saying that this poll and that what you call the rush toward declaring civil war in Iraq is that the result of intentional misreporting of the situation there?
Oh, I can't go into people's minds. All I'm doing is reporting on what we've seen. General Casey pointed out to this group here that he believes, his data shows, that the numbers of mosque attacks and the nature of the attacks and the severity of the attacks have been considerably exaggerated, and that the number of civilian Iraqis that have been killed or wounded has been exaggerated.
Well, do you believe that the media has been duped by the situation or doesn't understand it or what?
All I'm doing is reporting. I'm just reporting the facts. The facts are as I've stated them.
Even the reporters know he's a liar. He's a filthy, filthy liar. When he says that the reports of the number of civilian Iraqis have been killed or wounded has been exaggerated, yeah, okay, you drunk old bastard, it's all lies. They're not killing each other, just having a spirited game of capture the flag, right? All right, as we usually do, we now have some unintended irony from this psycho killer. This man who should be jailed, tried, and probably hanged, if we went by the law as laid down by the Nuremberg trials that we insisted upon at the end of World War II, if the rules used to get the convictions of the German high command and some civilians were applied now as then, Rumsfeld would be hanged. So this reporter says, Mr. Secretary, Ambassador Khalilzad told the Los Angeles Times that he believes, I'm quoting here, the potential is there now for sectarian violence to become a full-blown civil war, and that Iraq is really vulnerable at this time, end quote. He also said, now remember, Khalilzad is our ambassador to Iraq. He also said that the toppling of Saddam Hussein in 2003, in his words, quote, opened the Pandora's box of ethnic and sectarian violence, end quote. What do you make of that, sir?
Well, I haven't seen the full text of it, but clearly, if you take away a repressive regime that slaps people in jail, kills them, fills graves with hundreds of thousands of Iraqi citizens, uses chemicals on their own people, and you stop doing that, and you say to them, folks, a constitution, a piece of paper, is going to be what's going to hold this place together. That is an enormous step.
Well, thank God they now have a constitution, so everything's cool and calm and working so well. And this psycho killer stands there and says, when you have a repressive regime that slaps people in jail, that would be us. What did I read? We are holding 14,000 people in Iraqi jails without charges. Kills them. We are responsible for torturing to death at least 89 Iraqis or Afghans. We don't even know what their nationality is. So, yeah, Rumsfeld, you murderous old bastard. We slap people in jail. We kill them. What else did he say? We fill graves with hundreds of thousands of Iraqi citizens. Yeah, we've been doing that in Iraq since that psychopathic old twit George Herbert Walker Bush began the invasion in 1991, followed up by 8 years of miserable, death-filled sanctions by Bill Clinton, culminated by a continuation of the sanctions and another invasion by Tony Blair and this pissant who now sits in the White House. Yeah, Rumsfeld, you're right. Jail, murder, and graves filled with hundreds of thousands of Iraqi citizens. Yeah. I love it when Rummy tells a reporter what the question should be. Hey, Rummy, you got to answer the question you have, not the question you wish you had, right? Reporter says, Mr. Secretary, then what would a civil war look like? What are the signs you're monitoring there that in your eyes haven't come to pass, but if they come to pass, would indicate a civil war? What are some of the signs that we haven't seen yet?
Why don't you ask the other question? What would it look like if there's not chaos and civil war? And that's kind of what people have been describing.
What?
If you have, on the one hand, the Iraqi security forces succeeding, that's good. The backside of that would be they wouldn't be. they would disappear, or they would fall apart, or they would engage in sectarian violence of themselves.
What?
Or they'd refuse to obey, or something like that. The leadership, you want to know the other side. You want to know the worst, obviously. What would it look like? What would be terrible for the people, the political leaders and the government figures, to do exactly the opposite of what they're doing? And that is to stand up and say, by golly, we're not going to take this. They bombed one of our mosques. Let's go bomb their mosque.
Oh, is that how it works? You drug-addled old bastard, is that how it works? Is that how it works? The reporter asked the wrong question. What would it look like if there's not chaos and civil war? Well, I hate to say this, but it would look like it looked in that sad country before you sick old bastard, ordered an invasion. That's what it would look like.
Next up is Vietnam. Seven, open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why. We're all gonna die. Well, come on, brothers, throughout the land. Back your boys up to Vietnam. Come on, Bob, don't hesitate. Send them off before it's too late. Be the first one on your block. Every boy comes home in a box. And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why. We're all gonna die.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
Right, back to Rumsfeld in this asinine DOD briefing yesterday. This is the last one on Rumsfeld, this time on the topic of their next invasion. This time it's Iran. Reporter says, Mr. Secretary, the Vice President just addressed the issue of Iran and said, quote, we will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon, end quote. He said if Iran remains on its current course, it will face, quote, meaningful consequences, end quote. So my question to you, Mr. Secretary, first, do we have the ability to keep Iran from getting a nuclear weapon? And second, what are those meaningful consequences? Could they be military?
I have not read the full text of that. The President and the Vice President and the Secretary of State have all spoken on this issue. I'm not going to get into details of anything relating to that. I will say this about Iran. They are currently putting people into Iraq to do things that are harmful to the future of Iraq. And we know it. And it is something that they, will look back on as having been a error in judgment.
Why is that?
I've said all I have to say.
You've said all you have to say, you arrogant twit. You arrogant twit. Thump, thump, thump. So speaking of Cheney's threats against Iran, Chris Matthews on Hardball played a clip of that sick bastard's crazy-eyed killer and then asked Representative Jack Murtha about his opinion of plans to invade Iraq. First, the Dick Cheney clip.
The Iranian regime needs to know that if it stays on its present course, the international community is prepared to impose meaningful consequences.
Well, Mr. Murtha, I don't believe Vice President Cheney engages in bluffs, so what's he talking about?
Well, it's unfortunate that we've heard so much rhetoric from the administration. We've heard this over and over and over again, and it does nothing but make it more difficult to solve the problem. This is an international problem in Iran. We have to use international communications, international diplomacy, and when you make statements like that, you make it very difficult to solve it diplomatically. For instance, right now, we couldn't deploy to Iran. Most people don't realize Iran is three times in geographical bigger than Iraq, and 58 million people versus 26 million. It's not possible. Our military is stretched so thin, there's no way we can deploy to a second front and then sustain that front. So it's ridiculous to make it talk like, well, we could take all the options off the floor. It could be a military option. There's no way we can do that.
Well, just a slight correction, Representative Murtha, that would be the third front that these six sons of bitches who now control the United States would try to open up the third military front. So anyway, Chris Matthews continues. He asks, okay, I want to talk to you about Iran. If we were to do a surgical strike on Iran, let me digress and say, isn't it amazing how these desk jockey little twits that work in talk television use terminology they know nothing about? A surgical strike on Iran? How could Chris Matthews, who works for NBC, not understand that the surgical strike he's talking about would be targeted against nuclear facilities that are so far underground it would take tactical nukes to get to them? Oh, never mind. Matthews says, okay, I want to talk to you about Iran. If we were to do a surgical strike on Iran and knocked out what we thought were their nuclear facilities and set them back a couple of years, what would be the danger to America in that kind of approach?
Well, in the first place, Chris, I don't think it's necessary to even think about that in the near term. They're not close to having nuclear capability. Now, our intelligence was so bad in Iraq that I don't believe we have better intelligence in Iran. And so if they're talking about using bombing strikes in Iran, you're going to have world support for that. The public is against us going into Iran. So what we need to do is stress diplomatic relations. We need to work with Russia. We need to work with these other countries. One of the problems we have is when we go off on our own, we get no support from anybody else. You remember in the 91 war, how President Bush not only got support from the international community, they paid for the war. They paid the $60 billion, and we're going to spend $450 billion in this war by the end of this year.
Now imagine how many Katrina victims, just Katrina victims, that would help. Or poor children in this country and their families, uninsured people. Or prescription drugs for older people. Or real security for our ports and borders. $450 billion in this war by the end of this year. Now, I have a feeling that probably, not the majority of that money, but certainly a huge chunk of it, in at least $200 billion, has gone into the pockets of murderous thieves like Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld's portfolio and the Carlyle Group and Kellogg Brown and Root and Halliburton and Blackwater USA and all these filthy, filthy, rotten, anti-American, pro-fascist organizations. Oh, Christ, why bother? Why bother? I swear to God. Why bother? I hit these points, and I'm sure you do too, where you just say, screw it. Why even talk about this? Why tune in the Malloy program? Why listen to Sam and Janine? Why bother? Yeah, why bother indeed? All right, your phone calls when we come back. A little bit later in the program, we're picking up with 1984 again. It's been 5 days, I think, since we've read anything. We're going to pick it up where we left off. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic, The Mac and Cheese Box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
What about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie d'eau de tasses. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff White. Republicans and Democrats are opposing President Bush's plan to hand over operations at major U.S. ports to Dubai Ports World. Wednesday, a House committee voted overwhelmingly to block the ports deal. 62 congressmen on the House Appropriations Committee voted for the measure. Only two voted against the move. Convicted 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui dreamed of attacking the White House 1 year before al-Qaeda struck the U.S. Fazi Bafana, a member of a group tied to al-Qaeda, testified Wednesday that he met Moussaoui in 2000. He claims Moussaoui talked about his dream to fly an airplane into the White House. Bafana is testifying in the penalty phase of Moussaoui's trial. Authorities have taken three college students into custody for their alleged role in burning Alabama churches. During the arson spree that began in early February, 10 Baptist churches in Alabama were damaged or destroyed. A group of Cuban Americans from South Florida are meeting with White House officials to discuss the wet foot, dry foot policy. The activists and lawmakers demand that the president review the hotly contested law that states if a Cuban migrant touches American soil, he or she is allowed to stay. However, if the government intercepts them while still in the water, they are automatically sent back. Congressman Lincoln Diaz-Balart is sitting in on the meeting.
We want procedural rights for those people, for the refugees. We want reasonable procedural rights that can allow them, if they do have a case for political asylum, to make that case.
The Chicago office of the FBI is teaming up with three major banks in an effort to stop the rising number of bank robberies in the Chicago area. TCF, Harris, and Charter One banks are offering rewards of up to $10,000 for information leading to arrests in connection with past or future robberies. FBI spokesman Ross Rice says the agency got the banks together after an especially costly 2005.
Calendar year 2005, we set a record for the five-county metropolitan area with 238 robberies. That was a 48% increase over the same period in 2004.
Officials urge anyone with information on any area bank robbery to call the Chicago office of the FBI. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
We'll be right back.
The hour. Welcome back. Last thing before we come to your phone calls here, I got an email from Raging in Miami, one of the regulars at Democratic Underground. And this has to do, the other day, I made what could be could have been interpreted as kind of a disparaging remark about Lynyrd Skynyrd. Kathy played some music. Lynyrd Skynyrd music, and I said something like, oh God, are you playing that? And I have to admit that I've always looked at Lynyrd Skynyrd as the sine qua non of redneck, right-wing rock bands, southern rock bands. But I stand corrected after reading what was written here by Raging in Miami. Here's what he wrote. Hi, Mike. This is Raging in Miami from Democratic Underground, one of your biggest fans. I even posted something for you on that thread they printed out and gave it to you at the Atlanta meetup. Please don't fall into the trap that many DUers do and start ragging on Skynyrd because you think they're not liberal. The real Lynyrd Skynyrd, the band that became world famous during the 70s before that deadly plane crash, was very liberal. The ones out touring today are a bunch of right-wingers who are riding on the name of the original band, as so many bands do nowadays. Singer Ronnie Van Zant, who died in the crash, wrote an anti-gun song, a pro-environmental song, and several anti-poverty, anti-Vietnam songs, and an anti-racist song. The one song that seems to get under every liberal's skin is Sweet Home Alabama, because they mentioned Governor George Wallace and ragged on Neil Young. If you listen to the song, the chorus after the Wallace line is boo, boo, boo. In fact, Lynyrd Skynyrd bassist Leon Wilkerson was quoted as saying, "We supported Wallace about as much as your average American supported Hitler." As far as the Neil Young reference goes, they were good friends with Neil Young. It was all in fun. In fact, in his first concert after the plane crash, Young was playing a concert in Miami and performed Sweet Home Alabama in honor of Van Zant. Young was a pallbearer at Van Zant's funeral. In Sweet Home Alabama, Van Zant mentioned that Watergate didn't bother him. He was a poor white boy from North Florida. The way he saw it, it was business as usual in the White House. However, Lynyrd Skynyrd supported Jimmy Carter in 76 and raised money for his campaign with concerts. Ronnie Van Zant even wore Carter t-shirts during that time. And then he sent, and then Raging Miami sent me some lyrics, which certainly makes his case. And signs off peace, still raging in Miami. Well, I certainly stand corrected here, raging in Miami, because, I never paid any attention to this kind of stuff. I just didn't. I listened to Sweet Home Alabama and back in the day and thought, well, you right-wing redneck bastards. And it never occurred to me that such a thing was going on. Way outside of my realm of experience where it concerned some of these rock bands. I was a great, Jesus, drawing another blank, Allman Brothers fan. And what was the band from South Carolina that I liked so much? Marshall Tucker. And I understand Marshall Tucker, went to bat against the sisters or the female group Dixie Chicks. I almost said Satellite Sisters. The Dixie Chicks. But I liked Marshall Tucker Band's music. I really did. And the Allman Brothers, to me, of course, are the creme de la creme of Southern rock, fusion music, you know, rock, jazz, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, thanks. Thanks, Raging in Miami, for the correction and for clearing out my head where it concerned Lynyrd Skynyrd, and especially that song, Sweet Home Alabama.
So now you'll be, I assume, taking out your lighter, lifting it high into the air, and yelling, Freebird!
No, that'll never happen. And Charlie Daniels still stinks. Even though I love The Devil Went Down to Georgia. I mean, that song just cracked me up. Then I find out that Charlie Daniels is a little bit to the right of Hitler himself. And it just, I don't know. I give up on Southern rock and roll. There is no such thing as Southern rock anymore.
In our middle school, we had a parrot that used to love the Devil Went Down to Georgia. It used to, you know, chirp that doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, you know, that. And that was about the right mentality for that song, I found. Yeah. My name's Johnny.
Oh, my God.
Just might be a sin. Now, that is some awful Southern rock.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. I really appreciate
this
it.
This is from a native.
Yeah, I know. You are a Southern woman. I understand. Anyway, to Raging in Miami from Democratic Underground, thanks a lot. I appreciate the clarifications. All right, let's do some phone calls. You know, it's talk radio. Let's start with the people who have been holding on for 6 hours or longer. That would be Ron in Wellsboro, PA. Ron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're welcome.
Yeah, initially I wanted to talk about the Section 602 of the Patriot Act renewal, the thing about the trespassing.
Yeah, isn't that, we didn't get to that tonight. I guess we're going to get to it later on or tomorrow. Unbelievable stuff. That means that if you or I decide to protest when Cheney comes to town to speak before the pigs, we can be arrested now.
Yeah.
And Cheney,
what you said earlier, too, you know, I really hate how he sets the debate for the country and Murtha has to kind of pick up his slop.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's like, it almost like if Cheney is like saying, wagging his finger in Iran, you know, it's almost a certain, you know, we're going to go. Well, at least that's what the prevailing logic seems. I don't know. It just, that makes me sick. But since I was listening to you, there is something I've followed quite closely for a long time since the Ward Churchill thing. Mm-hmm. And the Deb Myers thing, you know, the teacher in Indiana that was fired for talking about peace.
Yeah, is it Meyer or Mayer? Is it Meyer? Hello? What happened? We lost, oh no, damn. Call back in and we'll bump you up. I'm sorry about that. Matt is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Matt, welcome to the program.
Mike, I really love your show and everything, but I do have to say, well, first of all, I love Air America because I was listening to Ring of Fire, and in his PAP attack, Mike Papantonio ridiculed Ted Nugent.
Uh-huh.
And before that, I had wished death on Ted Nugent, and then I thought, wait a minute. Nobody born since 1960 even knows who Ted Nugent is.
Well, that's true.
But Mike, as much as I love your show, and I like how you take no prisoners, and how I wish Mike Papantonio would drop Bobby Kennedy, but that's another story. But anyways, as much as I love your show, I do have to say this, and I challenge you to poll your listeners on this. I cannot stand hearing... Well, let me slow down.
Okay.
You should limit how many clips you play of these idiots like Puffy McMoonface, Donald Rumsfeld, and, of course, the liar-in-chief.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying never play them. I'm just saying, like, last hours you played, like, three clips of this idiot Rumsfeld. I know he's a liar. One clip would have been enough to show what a liar. And, I mean, Chris Matthews, I couldn't care less with that dingback had to say.
Well, no, wait, hold on. It's not Chris Matthews. It just so happened that Murtha was on Chris Matthews' program. I couldn't care less what Chris Matthews says either. He's just a media whore who will suck up to anybody who will toss him a few crumbs. Now, as far as Rumsfeld, I think it's critically important. I think to have Nazis, to have fascists like this, conducting these Department of Defense press briefings where nobody hears what's going on. I mean, how many people sit around and watch C-SPAN?
Not many.
And the American press is not going to report it. Television never reports it. There's a couple of lines that might make it in the New York Times, Washington Post. It's just important to us, by us, I mean Kathy and me, that we get this out as best we can. So I understand, they turn my stomach too. But I think if more people in this country would have listened to English translation what Hitler said back in the 30s, there would have been less inclination to try to form an alliance with him. But I hear what you say. Matt, I got to leave it there, okay? Or you want to hold on, Matt. Just stay there.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Clarence Young, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on how far he's willing to go.
Finding a new antibiotic is about as easy as catching one particular snowflake. It takes about 15 years to find one that works. Then, as soon as the bacteria develop resistance, we're right back where we started. But everyone benefits from antibiotics, so the war never stops. At GSK, quitting's just not an option.
GlaxoSmithKline. Today's medicines, tomorrow's miracles.
justice and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Got a monkey on your back. Just one more fix, Lord, might do the trick. One hell of a price for you to get your kid.
22 past the hour. All right, who are we talking? We were talking to Matt in Madison. All right, I want you to hold on, Matt, because it says here you wanted to say something about book references.
Oh, yes. This book by Philip K. Dick. I checked out these two books. Well, I'll just limit it to one.
All right.
This book by Philip K. Dick on the back. I haven't read it, but see if this pretty much describes our current president. Set in the middle of the 21st century, the Simulacra is the story of an America where the whole government is a fraud and the president is an android. And oh, one more thing, and this unfortunately describes a lot of liberals. Bertold Goetz is.
Oh no. Oh jeez. Okay, I'm sorry. It looks like we're having internal phone problems again. Sorry, Matt. Maybe we can pick up the discussion on the 14th when I'll be in your city. Let's try Marcus in Texas. Marcus, welcome to the program.
Mike.
Marcus.
Molly, how the hell are you? Still alive.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you are, Marcus.
Hey, man, they can't take me out like that. I got a plan for you, Mike.
All right, let me hear it.
Man, what we need to do, you need to use your voice because we get out all over the world.
Yeah.
And try to get in touch with Middle Eastern people, especially from Iraq, and try to get them to use their democracy that George Bush wants them to have so bad, and try to get a coalition going in Iraq to get him tried on war crimes trial in their country and have his ass extradited with all this cabal of rats up there with him. And you need to open up your lines and try to encourage the Arab people to call you and try to mobilize them to get this done. And we can pick it up over here and try to force them to show them that we're not all for this. We're not for this kind of crime. You know what I'm saying? They need to know. And sooner or later, society has to pay for the crimes of its government. And this is what else is even more important is they're getting ready to attack Iran. They're changing America's mind. And we can't have that kind of nuclear fallout going all over the world.
All right. I'm open to it. I'm open to it, Marcus.
And everybody on Air America needs to try to get this thing. Forget impeaching Bush. Bush is a war criminal.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
He needs to be dealt with one for just what he is.
Well, like,
it's been the message to the rest of the world that we're all not a bunch of dumb hicks over here. You know, and now we're not rolling over playing dead and just being a doormat for Bush and his cabal of Nazis, and they are Nazis.
Well, that's true. Marcus, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. I question whether or not the world looks at us as dumb hicks. I think they look at us as ignorant killers who have enough military, or not military, but destructive power with our nuclear arsenal to destroy the world about 14, 15, 30, 80, 100, who cares, times over and over and over again. Jeez. Mike is calling from Dalton, Georgia. Mike, welcome to the program.
Atlanta Rhythm section is pretty good, too.
What now?
The Atlanta Rhythm section is a pretty good band, too.
Oh, that's right. ARS was a great band. That was one of those old Bill Lowry bands that was set up just to provide background music for some of his some of his acts, and then they broke out on their own. Atlanta Rhythm section was good. You're right.
Right. I wasn't calling about that Gallup survey on
evolution
versus the divine creation business.
Uh-huh.
Please tell me that poll had an error margin of 70%.
Well, no, wait. Several people have emailed and told me that the way the question was asked determines to a great extent, and of course most of us know this, I just wasn't thinking, I guess, if you ask people as a follow-up question to define what evolution means, you're going to hit a brick wall. And the other part, I think Reg emailed me about this, very few people are going to tell a pollster that they don't believe in God. You understand what I'm saying? So
sure.
I know these results are skewed, by the way the question's asked and the fear that people might have in answering a question like that. But still, if the numbers are above 15% of people who reject the theory of evolution in favor of any creationist theory, I don't care if it, I don't care what it is, Judeo-Christian, Hindu, the Norse, Greek, Roman, it matters not. To me, that is a clear indication that society is heading for a brick wall, because if they reject science to that degree, then there is nothing that can happen except they are going to go down, and they're going to go down hard and bad. Mike, thanks. I got to leave it there. I appreciate your call. We'll be right back with tonight's edition of 1984. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
We'll be right back.
26 before the hour. When we left off last Thursday, I believe it was, with our reading of George Orwell's 1984, Winston Smith and Julia had gotten together. They'd had a date. They've had a couple now. They've had sex together. Julia is explaining to Winston what she does. She works in the fiction department of one of the ministries for Big Brother, where she writes works on cheap novels, sex novels, that are used to keep the proles diverted. And she has been explaining a lot about herself to Winston Smith. And as George Orwell intended at this point in the novel, the development of this relationship between Julia and Winston is becoming key. They did not discuss the possibility of getting married. It was too remote to be worth thinking about. No imaginable committee would ever sanction such a marriage, even if Catherine, Winston's wife, could somehow have been got rid of. It was hopeless, even as a daydream.
What was she like, your wife?
Said Julia. She was, do you know the newspeak word, good-thinkful, meaning naturally orthodox, incapable of thinking a bad thought?
No, I didn't know the word, but I know the kind of person right enough.
He began telling her the story of his married life, but curiously enough, she appeared to know the essential parts of it already. She described to him, almost as though she had seen or felt it, the stiffening of Catherine's body as soon as he touched her, the way in which she still seemed to be pushing him from her with all her strength, even when her arms were clasped tightly around him. With Julia, he felt no difficulty in talking about such things. Catherine, in any case, had long ceased to be a painful memory and became merely a distasteful one. I could have stood it if it hadn't been for one thing, he said. He told her about the frigid little ceremony that Catherine had forced him to go through on the same night every week. She hated it, but nothing would make her stop doing it. She used to call it, but you'll never guess.
Our duty to the party,
said Julia promptly. How did you know that?
I've been at school too, dear. Sex talks once a month for the over 16s, and in the youth movement. They rub it into you for years. I dare say it works in a lot of cases, but of course you never can tell. People are such hypocrites.
She began to enlarge upon the subject. With Julia, everything came back to her own sexuality. As soon as this was touched upon in any way, she was capable of great acuteness. Unlike Winston, she had grasped the inner meaning of the party's sexual puritanism. It was not merely that the sex instinct created a world of its own, which was outside the party's control, and which therefore had to be destroyed if possible. What was more important was that sexual privation induced hysteria, which was desirable because it could be transformed into war fever and leader worship. The way she put it was,
when you make love, you're using up energy, and afterwards you feel happy and don't give a damn for anything. They can't bear you to feel like that. They want you to be bursting with energy all the time. All this marching up and down and cheering and waving flags, it's simply sex gone sour. If you're happy inside yourself, why should you get excited about Big Brother and the 3-year plans and the 2 minutes hate and all the rest of their bloody rot?
That was very true, he thought. There was a direct, intimate connection between chastity and political orthodoxy. For how could the fear, the hatred, and the lunatic credulity which the party needed in its members be kept at the right pitch except by bottling down some powerful instinct and using it as a driving force? The sex impulse was dangerous to the party, and the party had turned it to account. They had played a similar trick with the instinct of parenthood. The family could not actually be abolished, and indeed, people were encouraged to be fond of their children in almost the old-fashioned way. The children, on the other hand, were systematically turned against their parents and taught to spy on them and report their deviations. The family had become, in effect, an extension of the thought police. It was a device by means of which everyone could be surrounded night and day by informers who knew him intimately. Abruptly, his mind went back to Catherine. Catherine would unquestionably have denounced him to the thought police if she had not happened to be too stupid to detect the unorthodoxy of his opinions. But what really recalled her to him at this moment was the stifling heat of the afternoon, which had brought the sweat out on his forehead. He began telling Julia of something that had happened, or rather had failed to happen, on another sweltering summer afternoon 11 years ago. It was 3 or 4 months after they were married. They had lost their way on a community hike somewhere in Kent. They had only lagged behind the others for a couple of minutes, but they took a wrong turn and presently found themselves pulled up short by the edge of an old chalk quarry. It was a sheer drop of 10 or 20 meters with boulders at the bottom. There was nobody of whom they could ask the way. As soon as she realized that they were lost, Catherine became very uneasy. To be away from the noisy mob of hikers, even for a moment, gave her a feeling of wrongdoing. She wanted to hurry back by the way they had come and start searching in the other direction. But at this moment, Winston noticed some tufts of loose strife growing in the cracks of the cliff beneath them. One tuft was of two colors, magenta and brick red, apparently growing on the same root. He had never seen anything of the kind before, and he called Catherine to come and look at it. "Look, Catherine, look at those flowers, that clump down near the bottom. Do you see they're two different colors?" She had already turned to go, but she did rather fretfully come back for a moment. She even leaned out over the cliff face to see where he was pointing. He was standing a little behind her, and he put his hand on her waist to steady her. At this moment, it suddenly occurred to him how completely alone they were. There was not a human creature anywhere, not a leaf stirring, not even a bird awake. In a place like this, the danger that there would be a hidden microphone was very small, and even if there was a microphone, it would only pick up sounds. It was the hottest, sleepiest hour of the afternoon. The sun blazed down upon them, the sweat tickled his face, and the thought struck him.
"Why didn't you give her a good shove?"
said Julia.
"I would have."
"Yes, dear, you would have. I would if I'd been the same person then as I am now. Or perhaps I would. I'm not certain."
"Are you sorry you didn't?"
"Yes. On the whole, I'm sorry I didn't." They were sitting side by side on the dusty floor. He pulled her closer against him. Her head rested on his shoulder, the pleasant smell of her hair conquering the pigeon dung. She was very young, he thought. She still expected something from life. She did not understand that to push an inconvenient person over a cliff solves nothing. "Actually, it would have made no difference," he said.
"Then why are you sorry you didn't do it?"
"Only because I prefer a positive to a negative. In this game that we're playing, we can't win. Some kinds of failure are better than other kinds, that's all." He felt her shoulders give a wriggle of dissent. She always contradicted him when he said anything of this kind. She would not accept it as a law of nature that the individual is always defeated. In a way, she realized that she herself was doomed, that sooner or later the thought police would catch her, would kill her. But with another part of her mind, she believed that it was somehow possible to construct a secret world in which you could live as you chose. All you needed was luck and cunning and boldness. She did not understand that there was no such thing as happiness, that the only victory lay in the far future, long after you were dead. And from the moment of declaring war on the party, it was better to think of yourself as a corpse. "We are the dead," he said.
"We're not dead yet,"
said Julia prosaically. "Not physically. 6 months, a year, 5 years, conceivably. I'm afraid of death. You're young, so presumably you're more afraid of it than I am. Obviously, we shall put it off as long as we can, but it makes very little difference. As long as human beings stay human, death and life are the same thing."
"Oh, rubbish. Which would you sooner sleep with, me or a skeleton? Don't you enjoy being alive? Don't you like feeling? This is me. This is my hand. This is my leg. I'm real. I'm solid. I'm alive. Don't you like this?"
She twisted herself around and pressed her bosom against him. He could feel her breasts, ripe yet firm through her overalls. Her body seemed to be pouring some of its youth and vigor into his. "Yes, I like that," he said.
"Then stop talking about dying, and now listen, dear. We've got a fix-up about the next time we meet. We may as well go back to the place in the wood. We've given it a good long rest. But you must get there by a different way this time. I've got it all planned out. You take the train, but look, I'll draw it out for you."
And in her practical way, she scraped together a small square of dust, and with a twig from a pigeon's nest, began drawing a map on the floor.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Soda Can.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the phenylketonuric, though. It sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Oh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy.
He's commonsensical.
Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away. And all your money won't another minute buy. Just in the wind.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the usual crew in New York for the production of the program tonight. We were engineered by Justin Yuen and our resident rock star, who's back from New Orleans, Jason Isaac. D. Neal is our associate producer and the person who answers your calls. And our regular crew, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch at White Rose Society, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Tomorrow night on the program, we'll continue with part two of our three-part interview with Philip Markowitz, the 83-year-old author and Holocaust survivor. He's about to publish his memoirs, My Three Lives, and is kind enough to come on this program and give us a preview. If you heard last week when we had him on, it was primarily about his experiences as a young man and going through the deaths at the hands of the Nazis and starvation of his family members and the subsequent arrival of him and his younger brother at Auschwitz. Also, Madison, Wisconsin area truth seekers, there are two opportunities next Tuesday to come by and say howdy. I'll be at Hawk's Bar and Grill. That's at 425 State Street, along with the Mike 92.1's Lee Rayburn. We'll be there from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. on next Tuesday, which I believe is the 14th. And then at 7 p.m. that night, University of Wisconsin College Democrats have invited me to give a speech at the Whitewater campus. So I hope to see some of our Madison, Wisconsin area contributors and listeners and what have you next Tuesday.
Don't we have a fourth hour of the show today? I'm just getting cranked up.
No. That's only on Randy.
Damn.
It's only on Randy Rosen's program. All right.
I got more sound bites. I had a dissertation on evolution all planned out.
Yeah, okay.
Bush-Hitler comparisons. What am I going to do with all of it?
Right. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll catch it next time. Thanks, thanks. Leanne is calling from San Diego. Leanne, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you. And you made a comment earlier tonight. You said, why bother? Well, I want to tell you, if it wasn't for your program and you and Kathy doing this every night, we would have no democracy left in this country. Your little show there that you seem to think is little is providing all of us progressives with the only last bit of democratic information left in this country since we've been taken over by this hostile group of people in the White House. So I just want to tell you that the service you're providing to us is, for me personally, insurmountable. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you and what you've done. I come home every night, and this is my little bit of joy that I get every night to come home and listen to your three-hour program.
Well, that's very kind of you, Leanne. I appreciate that. I think the idea of what you're talking about is shared by everybody at this radio network and also the people that tune in. My only thing was, you know, sometimes it's easy to get weirded out, especially when you hear people like Cheney continuing to make threats of war on another country, when you hear people like Rumsfeld continue to sound like, I don't know, a cold-blooded killer who, if this were 1946 Nuremberg and he were in the dock, he would be found guilty and hanged. I have no doubt about that at all, about what these people are doing.
Exactly.
And yet they continue.
Exactly, and that's why when you come on, you bring the sanity back, because these people are insane, and your program is not, and you're not. And we get the reality when we listen to your program. And I'm just going to say one last thing to you. Years from now, when the history books write through this horrible time that we're going through, this hostile takeover that we're going through, your name is going to come up as one of the few people out there that were willing to preserve the democracy and put your butt on the line every night to do this show. I'm just telling you, I can tell you that for sure. Your name and this Air America is going to come up.
Well,
mark my words. You're in the history book.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thanks, Leanne.
Thank you so much, and Kathy, too, because I know you're a big part of it also.
Oh, yeah. I was telling somebody at the home office today just how valuable Kathy is in the production of this program. Thanks, Leanne. I appreciate what you had to say. It's difficult for me to take compliments or to see this program other than from the perspective of coming in here every night and doing 3 hours. But, you know, I guess so. The people that work at Air America probably do have, as Leanne pointed out, some niche that some future social historian of this country may mention. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
This call was brought to you by the Saving for Molly's College Fund.org. We thank you. Thank you for listening. Send cash.
Yeah, well, boy, you're in a singularly cynical mood this evening, aren't you? What is it, the Julia character in 1984 is getting to you? I mean, you know, I give you the character that has all the sexy lines, and you know.
You know, you're right. I really think that you should bring Peter Werby in to read for Julia, actually.
Well, he's probably available. But, now everybody's going to wonder what I meant by that, right?
Don't go all Brokeback on me.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't do that, Kathy. Although, nah, never mind. LaShonda is calling from Austin, Texas. LaShonda, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, it's been a while since I called. I don't know if you remember me or not.
Of course I remember you. You're the only person I know in Austin named LaShonda. How could I not remember you?
Oh, man, I had to take a break for a couple of months. Last time I called you, it was about the Rosa Parks thing, and then my phone crapped out. And
yeah, I remember.
I was so embarrassed, and I was like, I'm not calling back.
No, I remember.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and just have two comments. The first one, I was calling about the Rumsfeld thing. I was looking at him the other day when he was up there talking, and I'm just like, you know, at what point do we say that it's civil war? I'm just not understanding that. Are we waiting for more legs to be blown off?
Really?
I'm just like that reporter. What signs do I need to look for that we're heading towards civil war over there? Because I thought we were there.
Rumsfeld plays the press and the American public and George Bush for fools, because Rumsfeld knows that he can play us for fools. And that's what that's all about. You know that, LaShonda.
Yeah, I was so mad. I just threw my little dirty house shoe at the TV and just cut the TV off and left. I was just like, I can't believe it.
I know. LaShonda, guess what? We're out of time. I came to you late. We're just out of time. But I'll tell you what, if you call back before the week's over, we'll pick up the conversation, okay?
All righty then, Mike. You guys have a good evening.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot. Take care. Back on the night shift. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating in the program. We do appreciate it. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.